The title of this message is The Enemies of Faith, Part Uno. John 10:10, it's the Lord speaking. He says, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." The common theme in this whole year has been getting us moving from an earthly mentality to an heir's mentality to eventually going to become kingdom-minded individuals. We have learned that the kingdom dwells in us when Jesus Christ entered into our lives and He has made us heirs of the kingdom that God desires to give to us. But for us, some of the things that we've been covering recently has been about our faith. And that faith is alive. It is something that God has planted in us and must continuously be exercised in order to grow so that we can become mature spiritual men and women. And that faith is going to constantly be assaulted. Constantly. And today we're only going to cover one subject of these enemies, and that is, I would call it spiritual enemy number one, and that is disobedience. Disobedience. Our disobedience. And we're going to see how our disobedience not only impedes our spiritual growth, it also hinders the kingdom of God from manifesting. And so what we have to understand is that Jesus gives us some real clear directives. He tells us who it is that's going to try to destroy us, and He also tells us who it is that's going to supply us with the life that we are in desperate need of. He tells us that when we've heard the good news of Jesus Christ and we've responded to receiving Jesus as our Savior and Lord, this is the kind of faith that is pleasing to God. And that is just the beginning of where we exercise our faith into understanding who we are, who He is, and what this kingdom is all about. You see, if we don't understand who we are, we will never accomplish the purpose and plan that God has for us. And this plan is awesome. This plan is a lot more than we could ever ask or imagine. It's never entered into our heart. But God loves us so much that He will lead us step by step, precept upon precept, to get us to where we need to go. And that will always require faith. Everything in the kingdom has two substances that we really need. We need to have faith in what God says, and we need to have the revelation of what the Spirit is trying to teach us. Amen? And so hopefully today we will begin to start dissecting some of this stuff. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I would dare to say that none of us, or very few of us, take that seriously, that scripture. We're seeking God for our needs. We're seeking God for the things that we want. And we're believing by faith that He will supply all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. When the reality of it is we are hoping that He supplies all our greeds according to His righteousness in Christ Jesus. You see, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness." And that first must mean that John tells us that you must first believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. See, God's not interested, per se, in what we want. He is, because He has promised to take care of us. And if you read the scriptures ahead of that, Jesus does an exhortation of what are the things that the world looks for, and what they fight over, and how they are so encapsulated by all these temporal things, when really what is needed in our human spirit is to seek God, His plan, and what He wants. It's seeking the kingdom of God. Does that make sense to you? You see, Jesus fills the void in our hearts, but it's only the kingdom of God that will propel us into accomplishing the feats that He has created you and me to do. And it is with this proper understanding that if we seek Him and seek the knowledge of the Holy One, we will be able to articulate to them properly what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. And that gospel is everything that we've said it is, but it is so much more. You see, what is in us has been lost. And we're busy trying to regain that by trying to manipulate and control each other, when the reality of it is the kingdom of God trying to manifest itself through us, to take dominion of us, to take dominion over everything else that's in here. And we're going to look at that today. How our disobedience keeps us from becoming who we were designed and the plan of God for all time. Amen? Turn with me to Genesis 1. If we want to move ahead, we need to go back. We must learn the lessons of history, or we will fail and repeat the lessons of history. In Genesis 1:26, the Lord God says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let them have dominion in our likeness." Two important words here that we have to understand. First, image. God says, "Let us." We see the triunity of God, because there's more than one person of this triune God, which I can't say I understand, nor am I going to try to explain. I just believe by faith that He is a triune God. But this word, this Hebrew word, is teslem. And it means to be, in its root, a phantom. It's translated into the meaning to resemble or to be a mirror image. In other words, it is a reflection. It is not the total embodiment, but it is a reflection. And the best way I can describe that is, we all know what the sun is, right? It's the source of all the heat and light and all that other stuff for our planet and all. And we all know what the moon is. But the moon does not have a glory of its own. It has to reflect the glory of the sun and allow that light to shine back upon the earth. Right? We are just like that. In and of ourselves, we do not have anything in us that's of any real consequence. But when we're beholding God and we're worshiping God, His glory comes upon us and reflects that back out to creation. But that's not the full meaning of what teslem means. Teslem means that not only do we reflect Him, we are Him in every essence of who He is and what He has, because He is in us. And we reflect all that through our motion, our activities, our speech, every ounce of what our life consists of, we are reflecting God. And Adam, when he walked on the earth before he sinned, he did that. He was in complete right standing with God in everything that he did. And because he reflected God in a proper way, everything was hunky-dory. He experienced abundance, right? He had the whole garden, right? He experienced no lack whatsoever. Everything that God is and has created, Adam was there in the midst enjoying it. He also enjoyed the ability of being able to take authority. Because the word dominion means to rule, to subject, to bring under control. God is in control. And what we have here, and I've taught you guys that the very basic thing of a relationship was lost in the garden. And you guys now understand that that is true. But there was something even far greater lost in the garden than just the relationship. And that what was lost was the extension of God's kingdom from heaven into earth. And dominion, when He gave dominion to Adam, to us, He gave us the right to rule over everything on the earth except each other. Right? Isn't that what the Word says? It doesn't say rule over, bring people into subjection. It says everything else but that. And because of that, we have this authenticity that God has placed into us that makes us real. And Adam was real. What you see is what you get. What you saw was seeing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the total embodiment of Adam. And because Adam walked in obedience and he did everything that God said to do, God blessed him with a wife. And he told them, be fruitful and multiply. Did he not? And so the parameters were set. Be fruitful, multiply, enjoy all this, take dominion over that. But one thing. Genesis 2, 16 and 17 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you shall surely die. Adam was given complete instruction. Adam instructed Eve about God's Word. And everything was fine. Everything was going well. Until one day, the enemy came into the garden. Now mind you, we know through Isaiah that this happened after Satan was thrown out of heaven. He tried to take over heaven and God had none of that stuff and He threw him to the earth. And so, because Satan's hatred of God and hatred of all His creation, Satan now is the one who comes to rob, to steal, to destroy, to kill, to utterly destroy us. And he wants to destroy our faith or trust in what God says. He hates us so much that he wants us to destroy the relationship that we have now that has been restored to us through Jesus Christ. And he hates us so much that he wants to keep us ignorant of who we are. And the scriptures call that being in darkness. And we had an age we called it was the Dark Ages, where learning and knowledge disappeared upon the earth. And it was a terrible time until men began to seek God again and revelation and industry and all this other stuff began to happen again. Satan wants to keep us ignorant of salvation. And how many people do we know that are out there that we've tried to share the gospel with, but they look at us like, you know, we're speaking another language? Really? When we have that just in our own families. You know, you could be talking, you think you're talking the same language, but they're on a different wavelength. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're on AM, they're on FM. You know, it just doesn't hit there. And because we've received the gospel by faith and God has now shown us that we're His children and we're heirs to Him, that the most important thing for us is to develop this faith. Now this faith that we have is the only thing that will please God. And through faith or trust in what God says for us to do, our obedience moves us into a sphere of right standing or righteousness that God is able to then use us as a conduit to influence the world. If Satan is not able to keep us ignorant, and so far I see that we're not ignorant because we're saved, well then his task now is to destroy that faith So that if we ever even just begin to exercise our faith and take what God is saying, and Amber said, you know, I am what the Word says I am. I have everything that it says. I can do everything that it says. But do you believe it? Do you really believe it? And Sharon's right. No. You didn't have to. Your head was going like this. And you know what? And that's really good because, you know, it's truth. It's truthful. It's okay to say, God, I don't understand, and I don't know if I can trust this. It's okay. It's not a sin. It only becomes a sin when you look at it and say, nah, that's not God. Hear God speaking to you. Nah, that's not God. And it lines up with the Word. That becomes unbelief. Lack of faith. But that's still not what we're talking about. We're talking about disobedience. Right? Not lack of faith. Which is still sin. How did this happen? In Genesis 3, it says, in verse 1, it says, the serpent said to the woman, has God indeed said? He threw this dart into Eve. It's mine. Adam gave her the word because God gave him the word. Gentlemen, with our spouses, we need to cover our wives with the word. It's not the other way around. Because we know that Eve not only quoted the Scripture, she added to the Scripture. And God warns us that when we add or detract from the Scripture, we are susceptible to disobedience. And all the curses that are in the Scriptures give freedom to come upon us. And we've learned recently in the last year that Satan only has two elements in which he can use against us. That is, to deceive us. And to tempt us. That's it. He has no power. Not for the child of God. Unless we give it to him. And we know that Eve was deceived and she partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we know that she gave it to Adam. And Adam partook of it. And when he partook of it, his eyes were opened. And they realized that they were naked and ashamed. You see, Satan used the spirit of rebellion. Which is integral to us because being born in sin, our nature is to rebel against everything that is good. Everything that's God. And when we come across the Word, and the Word says, you can do this. I command you to do that. And we say, okay, God. And we don't move in it by faith. It immediately becomes disobedience. When the Word comes forth, and you see it written in there, and we believe God's Word is true, and all of us have read the Bible, you are accountable for that Word. You may not understand it, and you've heard me, you guys that have been in discipleship with me, I've said to you, just walk it. You don't need to understand it, because it doesn't say, you know, I walk by my understanding. It says, I walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, God's saying, just do this. It's His faith. Understanding will come after. We'll take the tithe. God commands us. He says in Malachi, He says, bring in the whole tithe into my storehouse and see if I will not pour out a blessing unto you that you will not even be able to contain. And then He gives a dissertation of how He'll rebuke the devourer from your fields, how He'll keep sickness from your home, how He will cause your stalls to be filled. How grain will come into your house. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I can't tithe. I got to pay my bills and all. Did you hear what the Lord has told us? It's the only time in the Bible that He says, test me and prove me in these things. He knows it's a struggle for us. But if He's got your heart and He's got your faith, you will do these things. Why? Because He wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. And you've heard me say, I don't do these things because I want to. I do it because I believe this is what God would have me to do. And I want the blessings. I cannot not afford to give my tithe to the Lord. Not only is it a part of my love and admiration for Him and thanking Him for taking care of all my needs the past week, I'm believing He's going to take care of all my needs for every day of the rest of my life. And so this small portion that I give to Him, and I begin to walk in obedience to Him, stops the enemy from destroying my life. It stops him, because God says He will do this for us. But Satan even tried it with the Lord Himself. After Jesus was baptized, and He went into the wilderness for 40 days, Satan came to Him. And again He used the word, if you can, and the difference between the two Adams was that the first Adam did not stand on God's word. And he fell, and he gave a kingdom away. He gave our kingdom away, to which we now have become subjected to sin instead of ruling sin and everything else. You see, that ruling was not just only the physical realm, it included the invisible realm or the spiritual realm of which God was extending this. Jesus was not taken in. And He said to the devil, He said, well, I think it says over here, maybe it says, I'm not really sure. He said, it's written. It's written. And how many of us know that it's written? You don't have to know where it is. You just got to know that it is. And we don't say it is written to Satan. We enjoy him beating our brains in and placing that doubt. Because after all, sin is pleasurable for a season. And Jesus said, you may think that you're free men, but guess what? If you're a slave to sin, then you're a slave. The dominion that God has given to us that was lost and regained in Jesus Christ is a kingdom and a relationship. Church, we have dominion again. Jesus Christ has given us that dominion. He has given us that realm of authority. But it requires our obedience to walk in that. To understand what this kingdom is about. To understand the power and authority that He has given to us as sons and daughters. God has not have a bunch of children that are impotent. We are filled with power. That the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us now. And it requires only the releasing of that power by faith. Does this make sense? Proverbs 23:7 says, so a man thinketh in his heart that he is. What are the things that you think about? WWF, going down to, what is that place where the girls are scantily clad? Hooters, going to Hooters and having a meal and taking a drink. I just saw this stupid thing on TV yesterday, this cage martial arts fighting, you know. Are we into that? Are we thinking about cars? Are we thinking about our job? Are we thinking about our kids? And none of those things are wrong in its place underneath seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Movies aren't wrong. But when movies are consuming our lives more than we're pursuing the kingdom of God and getting our lives right, it's wrong. When we're working 5-6 jobs at the expense of building a relationship with brothers and sisters and getting our lives put together, it's wrong. If, surely God didn't say, if you don't work, you can't pay. And all this comes from, we don't have a proper understanding of who God is. We don't have a fear of who God is. We don't even understand the kingdom of heaven and what He is responsible for, because it is His responsibility to bring all these things to us as we're seeking. I broke it down real easy. If I'm about Father's business, He's about my business. That's as simple as I can make it. But how many times does Satan just turn our head just a little off from the objective that we have, and we never accomplish anything? I got a taper that's taping my house. And this is a great example, because he is testing my patience like nobody's business. I don't see any rhyme or reason on how he's taping my house, because he tells me he's going to be there all day. He may show up, and if he shows up, it's only for a couple hours. And he's trying to tell me that he's a professional, but he's not a man of his word. He told me he would be done in 5 to 7 days. I'm in my second week, actually going into my third week with this guy. He says he can't trust me to pay him. But I gave him $1,500 cash to start the job. He says we're being judgmental when all we're doing is holding him accountable to the words that he has spoken to us. You see, the difference here is I'm kingdom-minded. He's self-minded, carnally-minded. He's trying to impress me about his work. I'm trying to impress him about the kingdom standards. As my Bible says, do good to all men, especially the household of faith. How is he doing me good when he's stringing me along? And we'll talk about priorities later on, but what I want to see is disobedience. Our disobedience to what God has told us to do has severe consequences. Once we are enlightened to what the Word has said, whether we understand it or not, we are responsible to walk in it. We are. God's not asking us to be in perfection. He's asking us to walk by faith, and He will bring that perfection through us. Turn to Numbers 20. I'm almost done. Numbers 20, verse 7 through 12. This is a story about Israel walking through the desert. And now they're murmuring and complaining. They just don't have anything to drink. And they are really beating on Moses, to the point where in verse 7 it says, "And then the Lord said to Moses, 'Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather together the assembly. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you will bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals.' So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said to them, 'Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?' Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. Then the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, 'Because you did not hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them.'" Disobedience to the word. How many of us have heard the voice of the Lord tell us to do something, and we did something very similar, or we didn't do it at all? All of us. And here's a case where Moses heard what the Lord had said, but in his anger, he misrepresented God before the people. And the deep spiritual meaning in all that was he was supposed to speak to the rock. Christ was the rock. He wasn't supposed to strike the rock twice, because Christ isn't going to die twice for us. He's only going to die once for us. All this spiritual symbolism that's a metaphor for us to understand. The bottom line is Moses and Aaron disobeyed God. When leaders disobey God, it has severe ramifications. It hinders the plan. And take them to the promised land. All of them. But Moses, even as great as Moses was, all the signs, all the wonders, all the miracles that Moses did, even this miracle here that he did, was only temporary to the Word of God, which is eternal. And we get caught up in signs and wonders and all this other stuff. When Jesus told us, you know, signs and wonders will follow them who believe. We don't have to hang around. We know that when we speak forth the word that God has given to us, it will perform that which God has sent it to do, and it will not return void to Him. We are standing in right relationship with Him. We are seeking His kingdom. We want to know Him more. And when He says, you know, sickness flee in the name of Jesus, it goes. It cannot stay there. That disobedience caused a blessing. Adam's disobedience opened the world up to sin and every evil thing that happened, of which we are affected. 6,000 years ago, this happened, and we're still having problems today. Only the King and His kingdom is the answer to the world's woes. And the Romans tells us that the world is waiting for the sons and daughters of the Most High to be revealed. Even creation groans under the weight of our disobedience. It didn't choose to be subjected. It became subjected at our disobedience. And even creation suffers because of it. Disobedience. You think that was severe consequences there? You think God was wrong in that? God is King. And as a king, He doesn't have to answer to anybody but to Himself. His subjects need to respond in complete obedience. It is not a place where we can just pick and choose what we want to do. Well, I don't feel like doing this today. I don't feel like doing that. You know, God didn't really say that. There is a time coming, and we see it in the book of Acts when Ananias and Sapphira disobeyed and lied to the Holy Spirit. That time is coming, church. God is not playing around. He's after our complete obedience to do that which is going on, to reach souls and to straighten our lives out so that we could be that shining city on a hill. It's going to require our faith. It's going to require us to be completely obedient, and Satan will use these darts of doubt to throw into our minds to keep us from believing God. Jesus told us everything that pertains to life comes from the mouth of God, according to Deuteronomy 8:3. We're told that the Word is near us, even in our mouths, in our heart, according to Deuteronomy 30:14. We stay in the Word not to go through some religious activity, but this is a legal document to each and every one of us as to what our rights are, just like the Declaration of Independence and the preamble to the Constitution. And the Constitution is the legal right of every American citizen. And in, contained in there is everything that we need to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But God's people are ignorant because Satan has been successful in keeping us ignorant and in darkness as to who God is, the truth of what the plan is all about, because we're still worried about building our little kingdoms, not God's. We stay in the Word to hide it in our hearts so that we won't sin against God, according to Psalms 119:11. We have this Word hidden in us so that when we go through trials and tribulations, the Holy Spirit can take that Word and encourage us, even in those trials, so that we will have something to sustain us, according to Psalm 119:50. Staying in the Word actually is a light to the way we are going. It is a light into what we are building into our lives. When we indiscriminately and selfishly build things into our lives that is not based on the Word of God, it is destined for failure. It is destined for failure. And God's Word is presided so that we can have abundance, that we can have abundant life, that we can have greatness in the land, if we do it His way. That's His promise. God's Word is pure and holy, and it's able to purge all the junk that's in us, out of us, so that we can be kingdom-minded at all times. To be kingdom-minded is not predicated on age. Kingdom-minded is being spiritual. It's being obedient to God. You can be 12 years old and be more spiritually minded and spiritually obedient than someone my age at 53 and do greater things. Don't let anybody tell you that you're too young. David was only 14 years old when he killed Goliath. The devil wants to separate us. He doesn't want us to be obedient to God. He wants us to suffer. He loves to see us suffer. And He wants us to focus on the material, the temporal things of the world. He does not want us to see the greater picture, which is the eternal kingdom of God. Jesus tried to do that in the Beatitudes. He tried to show us through the Lord's Prayer when He said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, we're created in His image. We were created to rule and reign. We were created to be an extension of God's kingdom, but also to be a direct image of God's goodness and mercy. We were created to be exactly like God, to live like God in complete grace and mercy. But Satan threw a monkey wrench in there. Satan threw something in there that has ultimately caused his full destruction. I don't know about you. I want to grow my faith. I want to be about Father's business. I want to see people come to a saving knowledge and become all that they are. I'm tired of seeing God's people getting beat up because they're disobedient to the Word of God. I'm tired of God's people saying they never knew. I'm tired of God's people saying, you know, well, that was good for that day. It's not good for today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He spoke the Word in the beginning. He is the Word that came and became flesh. And now He is the living Word that is trying to get His church, His congregation, out of the wilderness, cross over the Jordan, and take the promises by bringing in the harvest. If you want that, then next week, you know, bring somebody in here because they need to hear what God's doing. They need to hear the truth about how disobedience and every other thing that the enemy is throwing against us is impeding the church in America. It's not impeding the church worldwide because Christianity is moving in third world countries, But in developed and industrialized nations, it is dying because it's based on man's thinking, not on God's promises. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word. I ask, Lord God, today that we look at ourselves in a different light, God. That God, yeah, what was lost was a relationship, but it was far more greater than that. The kingdom. The kingdom of heaven on earth was lost. The influence of the kingdom. And that's why Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That which was lost from the beginning was being restored back to man. God, you were giving us the keys. You were giving us everything that we needed to empower us to tread upon the enemy and to destroy the works of the devil so that your sons and daughters would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Come back into your kingdom and take full dominion over all things, living in harmony with each other, God. Father, I pray today, Lord. I pray, God, that your kingdom come, that your will be done in streams of life and in the people of streams of life, God. That we would go to the highways and the byways, God, to preach about the kingdom of heaven, God. And the great and awesome King who is merciful and loving. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would burn this into our hearts. That we would lose sleep, we would not be able to eat until we became obedient to those things that you've told us to do. Holy Spirit, do what you come here to do, to teach us, to bring us through, to mature us, and to walk in obedience to God's will and word. I thank you for your people. I ask you, bless them richly, God, as they begin to search this out this week. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.